Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll-free 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Killett, your host, and our guest this hour is a very funny person, and that comes in handy because she's a writer, a speaker, the host of her own show on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, and she's also the mother of six children. Her latest book, One Beautiful Dream, it shot to number one on the Barnes & Noble list and top 25 on all of Amazon, which means she's a superstar, and I'm super glad she came here to talk with me today. Her book really is – oh, I was holding it upside down for the camera. That very nicely done, Cyril. The book making it to the top 25 on Amazon and number one on Barnes & Noble's list, all while being unabashedly a celebration of children and faith and more children, is just a wonderful, wonderful, refreshing thing. Jennifer Fulweiler is our guest. Jennifer, thanks for being with us.
I am so excited to be here.
Well, I'm glad to hear it because you're my blue flame. No, that's not true.
Oh, I love it. Good. That's a good start to an interview.
I say that we were just discussing it just a moment ago, but there's it's a theme that you. I think it comes from an article that you published first in the National Catholic Register, right?
I think so. I mean, I talked quite a bit about this. I used to blog for the National Catholic Register 3 times a week, and I loved it. I wish I still had time to do it. And yeah, we started these kind of discussions over there.
And that comes up in the book, actually, One Beautiful Dream, along with many other things. But tell us just real quick, since I brought it up, what are we talking about when we're talking about a blue flame?
Okay, so in the Catholic world, we would probably use the word charism. The St. Catherine of Siena Institute is doing amazing work with this stuff. The idea is that each one of us has at least one God-given gift. It is meant to serve the world. It's meant to build up the kingdom. And the hallmark of a charism or a blue flame, as I call it in the book, which is, by the way, it's someone else's term that I'm borrowing there. But the hallmark of a blue flame is that it gives you energy when you do it. You know, during the time that this book takes place, when I was writing for the National Catholic Register, I was working on my first book about my conversion. People would say, Jen, you have all these babies. You're pregnant. You've got another one on the way. How on earth do you have time to write? And I said, no, what you don't understand is it is because I am writing that I can get through this. This is not work for me. This is not just one more thing on my to-do list. This is something that fills me with joy and energy. And so that's writing is one of my kind of blue flame things. And again, the St. Catherine of Siena Institute is doing amazing work helping people find, you know, they would call it a charism, but whatever term you use, it's a powerful thing when you discover this.
It is the key to happiness, isn't it?
I think it really is. And not only would I say it's the key to happiness, but I would say it can be a way to reconnect with God. Because we say, you know, we tell people all the time, our kids, people who have fallen away, we say, hey, you should make it back to church. You know, you should connect with God. And I think it sounds like just a series of obligations to them. But when we say, hey, you know, God has given you some gifts and you're meant to use them and you're meant to use them to serve other people, I think that's a way to get the attention of people in this culture.
It is. Yeah, it is. And it's we're just searching. There's so much searching and often searching alone in this culture and in an isolated way. You don't live an alone, isolated life. As a matter of fact, your book is called The Rollicking Tale of Family Chaos, and you convey that sense of chaos. I have to say, when I'm reading it, One Beautiful Dream, I don't get a sense that you're like, this is all just being played for laughs. Like, it really is hard to be among. There's a lot of laughs in there, but but you're not being phony about it. It's a heavy thing to carry being a mom of six kids.
Yeah, my love language is being left alone in a silent room.
Yeah,
I'm a big introvert. I need lots of space and quiet. I mean, I am an only child who was raised in a house where I honestly don't recall my parents ever raising their voices. That I have no memory of that, not even once. We would sit at the family dinner table, the three of us, and like you could hear the clink as someone set the fork down on the plate. Yeah. So to go from that to six children, we live in a 1,900 square foot, three bedroom house. There are just people all up in your face all the time and everyone needs something. And so I'm very open about the fact that I don't have a temperament that you would think would be suited to being the mother of a big family. I'm a slob. I have no attention to detail when it comes to household things. I almost died one time when I tried to do a glitter craft because my head almost exploded. And so I like to get that out there because I think there's this idea in the culture that if you would even discern the path to have a big family, to maybe be more open to children than feels right to the average person, that you have to be kind of a Martha Stewart, Mary Poppins type. So I always tell women, no, you can have a temperament like mine and still love having a big family. It's just going to look different for you.
Yeah. And your husband, I was struck by this too, that your husband, who in the book you call Joe, is also an only child.
Yes, we are both only children. Isn't that crazy? My kids will have no cousins or aunts or uncles. So crazy.
Oh, I didn't think about that part. How did I miss that? Yeah. Obvious fact. Wow. So the two of you are that's the thing, too, though. You said you don't really have that experience. And I guess so-called Joe doesn't either.
That's his real name.
I know. I'm just messing with you, Jennifer Fulweiler. Sorry.
His real name is Constantine. Yeah. I just wanted to make it easy for the book.
Well, thanks. I appreciate it. It did make it much easier. You just don't come at it with that, oh, I know how big families work kind of thing. Oh. You had to learn that. You had to figure that out.
Well, keep in mind, neither one of us were raised Catholic either. So you have two only children, one who was raised kind of lukewarm Baptist, the other who grew up completely atheist. We are trying to raise this big Catholic family. It is the blind leading the blind at my house. We have no idea what we're doing.
Oh, yeah. And I didn't mention your first book. I believe it was your first book, Something Other Than God, is a memoir of that very journey in your life out of atheism.
That's right. Yeah. And that is the book that I was working on in this book that I've written. And Joe gives me a hard time. He says, Jen, you wrote a memoir about writing a memoir. He does that. Like that is the most like egomaniacal thing.
Wow. Well, I'm looking forward to the book about writing this book about writing your earlier book. That'll be a good book. The book about writing this book about your earlier book.
About writing the memoir about writing the memoir.
Yeah, that's funny. Our number is 888-318-7884. Jennifer Fulweiler is our guest. Many, many of you, I'm sure, have read her brand new book, One Beautiful Dream. And if you'd like to talk with Jennifer, give us a call, 888-318-7884. I didn't like... maybe I'm the judgmental type, but I didn't like the green bean lady at the beginning of this book. But I imagine I want to ask you about how much of that do you get as the mother of six children? How much people telling you about what a bad choice or what a series of bad choices you have made to bring this village into the world?
You know what's interesting is there's kind of an interesting psychological phenomenon here. Now that my kids are older, I don't get as much flack for it because people see them as full human individuals. You know, you wouldn't look at my 12-year-old who just finished her first novel and say, yeah, that one shouldn't exist. You know, the world would be a better place without her. Nobody's that insane. It was when I was pregnant and had babies, it was amazing how easy that was for people to dehumanize my children, to see, oh, she's pregnant. She shouldn't be pregnant. She already has three kids. And it's very interesting that now that my kids are older, I get comments asking how I do it. I get comments saying, whoa, that seems like a lot of chaos. But I don't get as many of the comments where people outright say, you should not have done this. You should not have had these children. But I got that pretty regularly when I was pregnant and or had, you know, little babies around.
Again, 888-318-7884 is our number. It's Catholic Answers Live. We're very blessed to have Jennifer Fulweiler, a very funny person, a very fine writer, a speaker, and a talk show host in her own right with us this hour. If you'd like to talk with Jennifer, give us a call, 888-318-7884. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back with more about One Beautiful Dream right after this with Jennifer Fulweiler.
Bringing you the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Howdy, folks. This is Jimmy Akin, and I want to tell you about a special limited-time offer we've got going right now on subscriptions to our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. You can sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll also give you a digital subscription to the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. Better yet, become a two-year subscriber and we'll drop the price by $20. That's a savings of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now because this is a limited-time offer. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com today.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and you've probably heard me explain Catholicism to non-Catholic callers on the radio or engage opponents in formal public debates. I've always hoped these interactions would show people how to graciously defend and share our faith, but they're not enough. That's why I've created a weekly podcast that will help Catholics answer the toughest objections against our faith. Every episode of the Council of Trent will provide listeners with a conversation roadmap that will help them share their faith with anyone. Keep in mind that I hate boring lectures. These podcasts will contain entertaining, informative, and practical explanations of the faith, as well as interviews with the best Catholic writers and speakers in the world today. Visit TrentHornPodcast.com today to find out how you can subscribe to my new podcast. That's TrentHornPodcast.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. Jennifer Fulweiler, our guest this hour, her brand new book is One Beautiful Dream, The Rollicking Tale of Family Chaos, Personal Passions, and Saying Yes to Them Both. It's from Ignatius Press. And do you have two presses? Is Zondervan also a shared deal?
Yeah, this is kind of a historic thing, if that's not too big of a word to use, that my deal technically is with Zondervan. They're a HarperCollins imprint, but we wanted to do an edition for the Catholic world. And I had worked with Ignatius before and had such a great experience with them that I wanted to do something with them. And so you see on the back cover the Zondervan logo, and they're, I think, maybe the biggest Protestant publisher, and then the Ignatius logo, which is obviously a large Catholic publisher. And I think that's a wonderful sign of the times to see the big Protestant publisher and the big Catholic publisher working together.
Yeah. I wonder, if Catholics, I suppose, are known, I think probably Catholics and Mormons have a reputation of being the big family people. I don't know how Mormons are doing. Catholics, we're less so than we used to be. In Protestant circles, how is your big family received?
I think they're a little terrified of us. It's definitely less common. When I've gone to, for example, there was a business meeting that I went to that was more in the Protestant world related to this book, and my kids were traveling with us. So my husband and my dad and my kids were all with us. And I just told them to stop by and said, oh, hey, here are the kids. And they weren't being bad, but they were being kids. You know, they were kind of running around. And everyone was so nervous. And you could tell that they were just trying to wrap their minds around this idea that, wait, there are kids here, but this is an office. And in the Catholic world, it's like, oh, yeah, there are 10 screaming kids here. We don't think anything of it. So everyone is very friendly and welcoming, but they are very clearly not used to the sort of big family, kids everywhere culture that we have in the Catholic world.
Yep. And among Catholics, I think it's very mixed. But I sometimes feel, I'm going to ask you about this, actually. Sometimes it almost seems to me that some people have the attitude that the bigger a family is, the more Catholic that family is, which is also an unfair kind of assumption to make and an unfair thing to put on people. Have you experienced that?
Oh, man. You know, I've heard that. Luckily, I don't personally know people who believe that, but I have heard that. And, you know, what a tragedy, because they're some of the best Catholics I know. Maybe they weren't able to have children, or, you know, they had one or two children. And in fact, a good friend of mine was saying she always planned to be that mom, the one with 12 kids and homeschooling and just babies everywhere. And God gave her two children. And that was the plan for her family. And she is the most just open to God's will, devout person ever. I think that there is less of that now than there used to be. When we first converted about 12 years ago, you would hear more comments like, well, they must be the real Catholics because they have 10 kids.
Yes, right.
I think there's more awareness now that is just so wrong and hurtful. And so I don't hear that as much as I used to.
Right. And frankly, I do think that there's also a phenomenon in the Catholic Church where young people wander away from the Catholic faith to some degree or another. They get taught a certain ethic when they go off to college or whatnot. And maybe even through their 30s, they accept this worldly view of sex and contraception and all that. And they end up with smaller families, but they also end up being fully converted. I've seen it many, many times. They kind of in their 40s or maybe their late 30s or even later or earlier. But I do think we're seeing a lot of that phenomenon of people. They fully embrace the Catholic faith. They just do it late. They come to it at a later date than maybe earlier generations did.
Absolutely. There, you know, I think anyone who has really looked into this world sees that there are families that are fully Catholic, on fire for their faith, that come in all shapes and sizes. And I mean, there is just infinite diversity when you look at, you know, thriving Catholic families.
888-318-7884 is the number. A bunch of people are on the lines. I know I am monopolizing your time, but in addition to all the other things on your resume, I'm told that you now are pursuing a stand-up comedy career. Will you please tell me about that before we go to the phones?
Okay. Sometimes you just get called to do crazy things and you do it. This is someone told me recently that I was part of a conversation where someone said there's really not a place for women of faith in the secular kind of mainstream comedy world. They said, you know, maybe you could go do a few things at some churches, but they said the mainstream secular comedy world will never accept women of faith. You can't be funny to them. You can't say anything that will resonate with them. And I have the kind of personality that you tell me that, and what I hear is a challenge. And it's also just one of those things that felt right. I mean, I don't want to over-dramatize this to say it's some huge call from God, but it really seemed like the doors were kind of opening. And I was just writing on Facebook about how I have encountered so many interesting people. Like last night, a blind woman who was doing her stand-up with her service dog. And she taught me so much about how to use your whatever disability disadvantage you're coming into a group with to be a blessing to other people. So I don't know where this is going, but I am having a lot of fun with it. I am encountering a lot of people who are way far outside of our little Catholic circles.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm interested to see where it goes.
That thing about getting way outside our little Catholic circles, isn't that what we're supposed to do, though? Like, isn't that the point of evangelization?
Yeah, you know, I look around at these comedy open mics, and I'm in Austin, Texas. Anyone who knows Austin knows it's a very hip city.
Hipster. That's what I know.
No, is our motto. Our motto is keep Austin weird. Yeah. And I look at these people I'm hanging out with in these comedy circles, and I say, I think that we as Catholics need more of a presence in these kind of circles. You know, we're hanging out with each other. We're talking to each other. Let's break out of our bubbles a little bit. And I think each person is called to do that in different ways and different times. And I think for me right now, I am supposed to be hanging out with the hipsters in the Austin comedy scene.
That is very cool. That is very cool. Well, we have calls for you. Shall we go to the lines?
I would love to.
Philippe, down there in Texas, in Houston, you are on with Jennifer Fulweiler. Your question, Felipe?
Hi, Jennifer. It's a blessing to talk to you. I hear you most of the afternoon in the Catholic radio in Cyrus.
Oh, I love that. That's awesome.
You are a unique person, not only because your shoes are 11 or 12, but because you are very very interesting, and your topics are very interesting, at least a thousand and millions of people. My question mainly is about the, I noticed in this country for the last 30 years or 40 years I have been living in the United States from Ecuador in South America, I noticed that the thousand and millions of people, they don't know how to save money. And when they retire, they don't have enough financial cushion. So, hello? Do you hear me?
Yeah, I'm listening. Yeah.
So, Felipe, I'm gathering the question has to do with about handling money in a Catholic family. Do you want to address that, Jennifer?
Yeah. So it's definitely a really tricky thing. I think it's interesting that Felipe mentioned that he's from Ecuador. I was going to tell Felipe, I'm working on my Spanish. My dad actually grew up in Mexico, so I spent a lot of my childhood in Mexico. And there's definitely a different view of money, a different relationship to money, especially as it comes to children and big families. And one of the things that I am really coming to see is that it's important that families take a look at their big expenses, your house, your car, things like that, and put a lot of your energy and focus into getting those expenses under control. Because, you know, your grocery budget, that can go up or down. You can change that on a month-to-month basis, depending on how you're doing financially. But, you know, if you have a house payment that's crushing you month after month after month, it's definitely going to make it hard to get by. So I think one little practical piece of advice I would say is, don't get caught up in the American idea, especially as it relates to family, that just because you're having another child, you're having a new baby, that you definitely have to get the bigger car or the bigger house or whatever the case may be. And I actually talk about our discussions about this in One Beautiful Dream that, you know, we still live in a 3-bedroom house and we now have a 150-pound dog and we've got the 1-eyed cat and our house is small and everyone is kind of on top of each other. But That's the house we can afford. And we thought about upgrading to a bigger house because we have so many kids. But we realized that that would mean that my husband would have to work all the time. That would put a lot of pressure on him. And so that really brought us a lot of peace to say, you know, we're going to reject this kind of American idea that every kid needs their own bedroom and we have to have 1,000 square feet per person. You know, if that's the right choice for your family and if that works for you financially, then great, awesome, buy a mansion. That's wonderful. But sometimes people get themselves in over their heads financially because they're just going with the flow of American culture. And that's what I tell people to watch out for.
I think we lost Felipe. I think that was what the problem was. But I'm so glad that we got that call because it does seem like the idea that you got to have a certain amount of stuff that gets in the way. And then we are sometimes I think there's status involved in the stuff we have as well. It's hard to let go of status and let go of stuff. But whether we have a big family or we have a small family, that is exactly what the Catholic life is. Let go of status, let go of stuff.
It really is. And it will give you so much peace when you do that, like you said, let go of status, let go of stuff, and also speak to your kids honestly about your constraints. Another thing that I see being in parenting circles is that parents will just lie awake at night just in despair because, for example, they can't send all of their kids to the really great camp that everyone else is going to because they can't afford it. Yeah. And they have so much guilt and they beat themselves up about it. And I know, my husband was raised by a single mother. She was dirt poor his entire life. And you know what? It was okay. He doesn't have any scars from that. She would just go to him and say, hey, I'm sorry. It is what it is. I'm a single mom. I can't send you to the fancy camp or I can't buy you the brand name clothes that your friends are wearing. Hey, this is the life that God gave us. What can I tell you? And you know what? It was totally fine. And I think that parents bring so much stress into their homes that they really don't need to, because they're trying to buy their kids all the things that the neighbors have. And especially if you have more than one kid, that's going to get pretty expensive pretty quickly. And I really encourage people to let that go, do what works for you, and don't feel guilty about it.
And they like their brothers and sisters, too. That's something else.
You know,
One of our apologists, Carlo, was in here yesterday with all of his kids, and they have the littlest one is a baby. And it's just beautiful to see how much the older ones, they love their baby brother. And that's a better gift than just about anything you could ever give a child.
I have really seen that. And we talked earlier about how I'm an only child and my husband is an only child. So I didn't go into parenting with really any experience of siblings, because I also came from kind of only child culture. The vast majority of my friends growing up either had one sibling, or if they had other siblings, they were living outside of the house. So I've really seen what a gift that is.
One Beautiful Dream is the brand new and thank God very popular book from Jennifer Fulweiler. Thank God, because we need more books like this, and because Jennifer needs the money. She's got six kids at home. More with your calls for Jennifer Fulweiler right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Dale Alquist of the American Chesterton Society, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
Hello, my friends. Summer is here. That means summer reading. I have great news. Catholic Answers is having its first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, you can get dozens of great books offered at $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. Now is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for yourself, your friends, and your family. Save 50% or more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of great authors. And my personal favorite, all the books in our Catholic Answers Classic series are marked down as well. Log on now and all this month to the store at shop.catholic.com and take advantage of our first ever summer sale. Log on today at shop.catholic.com.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm really excited to tell you about a special limited time offer we've got right now on subscriptions of our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine. Sign up today during our annual subscription drive, and not only can you save big bucks off the normal price, we'll give you a digital subscription of the magazine for free. Subscribe today by calling 818-487-2011 or by logging online to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com. Sign up for a one-year subscription, and we'll give you $10 off the normal price. But better yet, become a two-year subscriber, and we'll up the ante by dropping the price by $20. That's a savings of $10 to $20 plus a free digital subscription when you sign up for Catholic Answers Magazine. Act now, because this is our best offer of the year, and it's only available for a limited time. Subscribe to Catholic Answers Magazine before our annual subscription drive ends. Phone 818-487-2011 or go to CatholicAnswersMagazine.com.
Now there's a fast and easy way to get in touch with EWTN, the EWTN Everything Number. Call 1-800-447-EWTN to get the latest information on programming, special events, pilgrimages, and more. Our EWTN Family Viewer Services representatives are ready to help you with whatever your needs may be. The EWTN Everything Number. 1-800-447-EWTN. EWTN.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our guest this hour is Jennifer Fulweiler, author, speaker, mother. And she's got a great new book, One Beautiful Dream. I really do think you'll enjoy this book, I hope you'll pick it up. It's not a phony baloney book. It's not one of those, I am a perfect Catholic mom, and let me tell you how you, too, can be a perfect Catholic mom. As a matter of fact, I felt deeply ashamed for Jennifer at certain parts. No, that part's not really true.
You probably did.
I did not. But I thought it's nice that you're telling the story like the real way that it is. And because the joys of it are so great. I mean, they're so beautiful, and they it would be, you'd really be selling the story short not to tell the whole truth. And I think you did do a great job of telling the whole truth. One Beautiful Dream, again, is the book. You also coming to a comedy club near you. Jennifer's been working out as a comic. We'll see how that goes. I wish you all the best on that. I'd actually like to know how you do it. I've always wondered how people write a joke. I don't know how that – or do you, are you a storytelling type or what do you do? Do you?
I've been trying out both the storytelling and the one-liners. And by the way, I've been putting clips on Instagram stories. So if people look me up, I'm Jennifer Fulweiler on Instagram. They've got the stories. They're only up for 24 hours. So I have video of everything I've done so far, and I put the excerpts on Instagram stories. And it's nice because they're deleted after 24 hours, so nobody can see.
Hey.
So I've been trying the stories. I've actually been going more toward one-liners because they're easier to deliver. They get better laughs. But it takes work. I mean, you have to be very precise. But you know what's interesting is I feel like being Catholic, I kind of have the secret decoder ring because – you know, what we learn through our faith is really kind of like the owner's manual to being human. And so I feel like I kind of have a leg up because just by virtue of being Catholic, I know what people's real wants are, you know, that God-shaped hole in their heart. And so I find that I kind of actually have more material coming from a Catholic background because, you know, when Joe and I converted, we both said when we read the catechism and other Catholic wisdom, we said, you know, we kind of feel like we found the owner's manual to the human soul. And when you have that and you compare that to what's going on in the culture, you have endless comedy material.
That is really cool to hear. I have been monopolizing you. I feel guilty about it. So I'm going to go to Stephen in East Jordan in Pure, Michigan. Stephen, your question for Jennifer Fulweiler.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I think I'm going to get your book, Jennifer.
Great.
Basically, it seems to me that your book is about the crisis in the family. You know, we had a synod on the family, all these issues. I laugh because everyone says to me, what, you have five children, Stephen? Oh, my gosh, you should get an operation for that. You know what causes that? So I laughed when you said it because I endure the same type of persecution for my having a large family. But then my question was pointed towards when you hinted that it is reducing. You don't see as many Catholics with large families. I did some thinking about that because it's true. Here I am, no matter where I go, there are still very few Catholics that have as large as a family as I do, even. And I think what all the theologians and everything, including Trent Horn and Father Paco, I've called before on this similar issue, they refuse to talk about child custody, and I'll tell you how that correlates in just one second, because they say they can't talk about that as an issue. I find that astounding that these theologians and these proud Catholic people can stand up to Roe versus Wade, but they're too afraid to stand up to issues like child custody. Well, I know other Catholics that fear that their Catholic wife has left them and divorced. They were married in the church. And other Catholics fear that if their wife were to up and leave them, that they would get hosed with child custody a grand a month. And other Catholic guys that I know have said to me, I'm stopping at two children because in case she leaves me, she's armed with the law of the land, the law of Caesar. She can go walk in there and get an abortion without my consent. She can go walk in there and file for divorce and milk me for child support without my consent and just say that she's just not in love with me and get me for child support even though I'm not a criminal.
Stephen, I'm going to let Jennifer respond to what you had to say because it just strikes me as one of those I wouldn't have thought of it, but it strikes me as one of those unintended consequences of a sexual revolution that makes marriage impermanent, and people are afraid of marriage. And now he's saying even within the context of marriage, people are afraid of having children because they're afraid their marriage won't last.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that angle. That is really interesting. And I think it's one of those examples, too, of you try to do something good in terms of law and policy, but then there are difficult things that can come out of it. I mentioned earlier that my husband was raised by a single mother, And for many years, she couldn't get any child support at all, and it left her on the brink of destitution. So I like that there are laws now that say that really hold either parent, whatever parent doesn't have custody, that hold them accountable and make sure that they are, you know, that they're paying what they need to pay. Because again, my husband as a child really felt the brunt of the lack of those laws that used to be there. And I think one of the reasons we as Catholics, I mean, you and I, Cy, both have Catholic radio shows. I think one of the reasons we don't touch on this as much is because there's not, in this case, an exact right or wrong answer per family. It really depends on the situation. My husband, for a time, before we were Catholic, he did a little bit of divorce law, and he said, man, when you get into the details of a divorce, what the dad was actually doing, what the mom was actually doing, he said it's 10 times messier than anything you see on the surface. And I think it's really hard to make blanket statements about what this law should look like or what this family should do or, you know, whatever. I guess the only comment I would make, and it sounds like a little bit of a maybe even a blow off, but I would say over and over again, I encourage people when it comes to discerning family size and things like that, to not make decisions out of fear. I mean, child custody isn't the only thing you could fear. I can name 10 other things off the top of my head. What if you have more kids? Well, it increases the odds that one of your kids will get cancer. It increases the odds that you'll have a child who maybe dies or has something terrible happen to them. And I know people who limit their family size only for that reason, not, you know, they didn't feel like it was, you know, the right thing for them exactly, but they were afraid of money, afraid of, you know, any number of things. And so, you know, what I always tell people is, look, there are a million different reasons to, you know, decide that maybe adding another child right now is the right path for you, but don't make fear be one of them. Don't make your family planning decisions out of fear.
Stephen, thanks for raising that issue with us. We do appreciate your call. I hope that was helpful. 888-318-7884 is our number. If you'd like to talk with Jennifer Fulweiler about her brand new book, One Beautiful Dream, 888-318-7884. Do you ever have a sense of your family as a witness to the faith, that who we are is what other people are going, oh, that's what it is to be a Catholic?
I think for any of us who do not live in Catholic neighborhoods, in Catholic parts of the country, which is probably all of us, I think we need to accept the reality that, like it or not, you are the entire Catholic Church to your neighbors and to your friends who are not Catholic. And it's not fair, but it is what it is. I mean, in our neighborhood, we are the Catholic family. And I know that people talk about us like, well, Catholics are like this because my neighbor did this. And that's one of the reasons that I just accepted early on. People should not use our family as an example of what it means to be Catholic, but they do. And so that's one of the reasons that whenever I encounter anyone, but especially people who aren't in our circles, I try to just be honest about our struggles, honest about both the good and the bad, because I think that one of the top things that can kind of turn people off is when you're trying to present that perfect image, when you're fake and they sense that they're not really encountering the real you. So I try to, for better or worse, give people the authentic experience as our family is living it, that we are very imperfect. We mess up all the time. We have plenty of bad days, but we love our faith either way.
One Beautiful Dream is the book. Jennifer Fulweiler is our guest. 888-31-TRUTH is our number. 888-318-7884. That you said, don't make decisions out of fear. I guess the way I want to ask you about this is, you know, when you have families cost a lot of money, bigger families must cost more money. There are all kinds of things that you talk about the increasing risk, but just the fact that more things are out of control, the more it's as if you're saying, well, each child is an act of faith in a way. Yeah, okay, well, we don't know how we're going to do this. And in the book, you really don't know how you're going to do it some of the time. Like I you know, it's a, well, it's going to have to figure itself out, I guess, in a way. Do you feel like, having gone through that now and lived that way for years with your husband, who in the book you called Joe, you think that you've developed trust? Is that like a muscle that can get stronger?
I'm so glad you brought that up. It is. And I did not understand that when I first converted to Catholicism from a life of atheism. You can imagine that being a strict atheist materialist for my entire life did not really train me well to put real trust in God. And you actually see this a little bit in my first book, too. You see me being forced. I mean, God just put me in a situation where I had no choice. I was forced to trust God in a real way. And honestly, I was kind of caught off guard by that. I was looking around saying, oh, I thought that being Catholic was going to be a lot like being an atheist, but just with less free time on Sundays. I didn't know that we were going to act like God is real. Like, I don't think I really signed up for that. And God just threw me into one situation after another where I did not have the option of relying on myself.
Yeah.
And he continues to do that all the time. I mean, even with the little things, like we talked about my doing stand-up comedy earlier. It's probably the most terrifying thing I've ever done, but it felt right to do. And I had to just turn it over to God, turn my ego over to God, turn my fear of failure over to God and say, I'm just going to trust. And I think that sometimes putting ourselves out there, like my silly stand-up comedy thing, it's kind of like getting exercise, that it does exercise the trust muscle, and it gets us in the habit of not trying to control every single aspect of our lives all the time. And for people who are control freaks like I am, that's a really important thing, to get in a practice of not being so controlling all the time.
I feel like you gave us the tagline to an ad, like, being Catholic, just like being an atheist, just less free time on Sundays. That would be such that could be like a little ad campaign we have to get people.
Tell the Pope to trademark that.
Yeah, I'm so glad that that's not your experience, though. I mean, because that, what a loss that would be if that really were what it was to come into the Catholic Church. I'm glad that's not your experience. We'll take a break. We'll be right back with more. Jennifer Fulweiler, author of One Beautiful Dream, right after this on Catholic Answers Live.
This is Archbishop Paul Coakley, the Archdiocese of Oklahoma City, and you're listening to Catholic Answers Live.
God helps those who help themselves. Preach the gospel always. When necessary, use words. We all hear sayings like these, and we assume they come from the Bible, the saints, or famous Christian writers. Nobody can seem to place their origin, but by sheer repetition, they've acquired a halo of truth. In my new book, What the Saints Never Said, I look at over 40 of these well-known sayings and track them back to their original sources. You'll be surprised at what I found. Some are close to what was really said. Many were misattributed or twisted beyond their original meaning, and more than a few of these sayings were simply made up. I hope by setting the record straight, I can make you aware of the theological errors that can lead us away from the faith and offer you authentic quotes from Scripture, saints, and scholars that will draw you closer to our faith. Get your copy of What the Saints Never Said by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their Catholic values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Summer is upon us, and though the temperatures are going up, the prices are coming down during Catholic Answers' first ever summer book sale in the online shop at Catholic.com. For a limited time, dozens of great books are available for $10, $5, even as low as $1 a copy. This is the time to load up on solid Catholic books for you, your friends, and your family. The spectacular online event offers savings of 50% and more on books by Jimmy Akin, Tim Staples, Rod Bennett, Gary Machuda, and a whole host of esteemed authors, evangelists, and apologists. We've even got all of the books in our Catholic Answers Classics series marked down. Log on now to shop.catholic.com and take advantage of what will be one of the most exciting sales of the summer. You know it's all good stuff because it's from the people you know and trust at Catholic Answers. Log on to shop.catholic.com and start saving today.
Call now with your question. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We promised you a great big giant Wednesday show. We delivered a great big giant Wednesday show. What, we didn't promise? We forgot to promise, Nick? Oh, all right. Well, we delivered anyways. We forgot to promise a great big giant Wednesday show, but nonetheless, we deliver. And really enjoying it, our conversation today with Jennifer Fulweiler, who you can hear on Sirius XM Satellite Radio with her show there, or whose books you can find wherever good books are sold. You probably could find some of her books where bad books are sold as well. I'm not sure about that.
Definitely there.
Yeah. The first book was Something Other Than God, a memoir of your journey out of atheism and into the Catholic Church. And I have to say, I mentioned this to you earlier. I didn't say it on the air, though. The first time I saw you was in a movie called Convinced by my very good friend Don Johnson, and it's a wonderful movie. But it's people who have similar stories to yours, people like Devin Rose, who were going along as atheists and found out there was a whole dimension to the world that they didn't know about, and they became Catholic.
Yeah, that he did such a good job with that. And by the way, it's amazing how many people in Convinced are local to me. I mean, Mark Rigneris, Devin Rose, and I all go to the same parish. Abby Johnson goes to the parish down the street. So you guys need to come to Central Texas. That's where it's at.
You know, something is happening in Texas, really. I'm not kidding you. Like, something in the Catholic Church is happening in Texas. I think it goes up in another place I would say, too, Nebraska. There's these communities of people that are – this something powerful is happening. I'm glad to hear that you're there as part of that. And you're in Don's new movie that's coming up, which is called Unprotected. Right.
Yes. Okay. So I wanted to be, and we just couldn't work it out schedule wise. Oh. I think he's using some of my clips from the previous one. I just couldn't fit it into my schedule, but I support it and love what he's doing with it.
Yeah, that's going to be his take on the sexual revolution.
And yeah, it's going to be crazy.
The wonders that have flowed to us as a culture from the sexual revolution, as a matter of fact, probably means in many ways the end of our culture. We'll just see if we can build a new one once it all collapses, I think.
But that's about the best plan right now.
There's a happy thought for you, Jennifer Fulweiler. I bet you're so happy to be on this show. Who is this guy?
It sounds like my show. Like,
yeah. Oh, sorry.
Very familiar.
Let's go to Kit. But I don't have a line number for Kit. Where do I go, Thomas? What line number am I going to for Kit? No, I can't. Nobody knows. All right. Kit, hang on. We're going to figure out what line you're on. We'll go to John in Colorado listening on 1060 AM. John, your question for Jennifer Fulweiler.
Yeah, hi. I was listening to you on the radio and was very interested in everything. I have 10 children myself. I always found it interesting that everybody felt it was very appropriate to comment on, like, how many children I had, especially, when, like you said, when they were young. And yet no one ever had the, you know, no one ever comments on people that have no children. It was just people would always ask me, you know, how many children are you going to have, or why did you have so many children? And my response to them was always, you know, I've never tried to have a child, and I've never tried not to.
That's a good response. I like that.
You know, yeah, God's going to bless me, and I've never presumed that God would ever give me another one. And when we had another child, we were blessed by another child. And I found that double standard. If you had ever, you know, seen that as well.
You know, what's interesting is I was just having a conversation with a friend of mine who is infertile. She's been married for 2 years now, and they're really struggling with infertility. And she said she has gotten some hurtful comments, especially in the Christian world, of people assuming that they must want a child-free lifestyle or something, and people will make comments. So I think basically, unless you have 2.5 children, there is going to be someone out there who will find a way to judge you. You know, if you have more than two kids, you're going to get judged. You have too many kids. If you have one or zero kids, there will be people who assume that you're, you know, doing something that you hate children or you want a child-free lifestyle. So I've heard that, you know, my friends who have dealt with infertility or for, you know, whatever reason don't have more than one kid or don't have kids, they've said that they get some comments too. So I guess it's everywhere.
John?
Interesting. Yeah. I guess that's true. I think maybe that happens more in the Christian circles, I think, in the secular world. But it was always funny. I actually came back to the Catholic Church just 3 years ago, and so for years everybody always asked me, are you Catholic or Mormon? And now I can just say, yeah, I am.
Yeah.
Oh, so you had 10 kids while you and you weren't practicing your faith?
No, well, we were Protestant. And your story resonates a lot with me. I mean, we lived on, I was a cop for 13 years, and we lived on a cop salary. We then went to Cambodia for 12 years and with seven of our kids and had three more out while we were there as Protestant missionaries and actually became Catholic in Cambodia before we came back.
Hey, you want to be on the show sometime? That's a, fascinating story.
Book this guy.
No, my show. I get him first, Jennifer. He's not.
I know. Yeah, we're going to fight over.
Yeah, we'll be competing, John, to get you on. Great story. Thanks so much, John. I really reach out to us, John. We'd love to be in touch with you. 888-318-7884. The number, Jennifer Fulweiler, is our guest. 888-318-7884. Jennifer, any more books in the works? Or like what comes up after One Beautiful Dream?
Yes. Well, I signed a 2-book deal with Zondervan. So there's another book coming up. But, you know, you mentioned my first book earlier. And one of my favorite things is I called it Something Other Than God, based on the quote from fellow former atheist C.S. Lewis, where he says, all that we call human history is the long, terrible story of man trying to find something other than God that will make him happy. So that's why I gave it that title. But there are a bunch of one-star reviews of my first book online from people who assume it's an atheist book. And they'll leave these one-star reviews saying, this book is terrible. I thought she found something other than God. Guys, she becomes Catholic at the end. This is terrible.
Oh, man. Well,
spoiler alert.
Yeah, right. There's a twist at the end if you're looking for something other than God. When you write a book like this, One Beautiful Dream, is your desire that people would understand that you've found something beautiful? Obviously that's in the title, but that you're happy with this, that it's not like, oh, I became a Catholic, I stopped using my mind, and I became a baby factory or something like that. Is that what you want as your motive underneath the writing of this?
I had two motives, Si. Okay. The first motive was I wanted women who are in that season of childbearing, they're pregnant, they're having babies and young children, to understand you do not have to put your gifts on the shelf. And in fact, I think that mentality, the idea of quote unquote putting your life on hold while the kids are little, I honestly think that comes from what John Paul II called the culture of death. You know, a culture of life involves living your life to the fullest with a baby on your hip, while you're expecting, when you have a toddler, just living your fullest life, even when you are serving other people. Because we understand as Catholics, our whole lives are about service. It's not like my time of service ends when my youngest child goes off to college. I'm always called to serve. So that was my first message, this idea of telling women, use your gifts in some way or another while you have young children. And then my second big message was to tell people, don't be afraid of life. And for a lot of people, that might mean being open to other children. But for other people, that might mean maybe they're single, maybe they're not married, but God is trying to send people into their lives, like someone at church, letting someone live with them who's down on their luck. Don't be afraid of the people who God is trying to send into your life, whether it's babies or whether it's the annoying guy at church. So don't be not afraid.
What a beautiful message. I wonder if you are... I'm sure you must have experienced this, but a woman who maybe can do things or wants to do things in a public life, like writing books or having a talk show being a talk show host as you are, or maybe she, you know, has a field that she wants to work in. It just doesn't seem that our society welcomes the woman with a baby on her hip.
It really doesn't, because you know what? It's messy. You know, I broadcast my show from this studio here. Every now and then I've had to do it from home, and you hear noise in the background, and my kids will be knocking on the door. And that's another message of One Beautiful Dream, is that when you are open to life in whatever form that takes for you, it is messy. it is noisy. It is imperfect. And it's one of the reasons I'm on my own radio show. I have a policy that people do not have to get childcare, because what I found is I was having hardly any female guests who had young children because they didn't have childcare help. So they weren't coming on my show. So now I just tell my listeners, hey, guys, this is what a culture of life sounds like. We are going to be talking to this PhD about transubstantiation. And you know what? There's probably going to be a baby crying in the background, and we are all going to be fine with it.
What a beautiful message, Jennifer Fulweiler. Thanks for writing the book. Thanks for taking the hour to talk about it with us.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thanks so much.
I think on your Wikipedia page, long after you have left this earth, will be the sentence, being Catholic, it's just like being atheist. You're just busier on Sundays.
I love it. Let's do it.
even though that is not your sentiment. You can really, One Beautiful Life has been an astonishing success. You can get it anywhere that books are sold. I hope you will. It's a partnership publication from Ignatius Press and Zondervan Publishing. Jennifer Fulweiler, you can find each day on a satellite radio, a Sirius XM satellite radio. Tomorrow, two big giant hours of open forum. If you've got any question on the life, the faith, the history of the Catholic Church, that is your chance to call. We'll see you then, God willing, on Catholic Answers Live.